Welcome, everybody, to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, boy.
Did you make fun of me there?
No, I just never said hello back to you. I just figured I'd throw a curveball. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Wow, I just realized that, yeah, this is what, the eighth episode? This is the first time you've...
This is the ninth
episode. This is the ninth episode, and that's the first time you've said hello back to me.
No, it's not the first time I've said hello back to you, Allie. It's the first time we've said it while recording. I say hello to you every day.
Whatever, they've never heard you say hello.
Well, I'm just going to pivot away from that. We got a good episode for you today. We got it's full of drama and legal battles. Well, that's exciting, right?
No.
Well, we're going to talk about it, because that's what's going on with games right now. No, it's pretty interesting stuff. All of it involves Apple. So when you actually hear everything laid out, you're like, oh, is Apple kind of crappy? Are they, you know, they kind of suck or what? I don't know.
Some people already say yes.
Yes, those are Android users. They do not like Apple. But we're going to roll right into it. In the last week, Apple has been having confrontations with two big companies, Microsoft and Epic Games, for wanting to use their services on their platforms in different ways, ways that Apple does not agree with. So let's start with Microsoft, and then we'll pivot into Epic because there's more to Epic. So Microsoft has been working on xCloud, which is cloud gaming. You're able to hook up to a tablet, a phone, basically that's it, right? I don't know any other device, laptop, but that's already connected. But basically, tablets and phones, you're able to connect to your Microsoft account. If you have Game Pass Ultimate, you have it already. It's going to launch in September. I don't have the date in front of me, but pretty much I think it's like the 25th or something like that of September. And you're going to be able to play all of these games streaming. So that is only going to be available for Android users on the Google Store. Apple put out a statement basically saying that they aren't going to allow xCloud on their service for a really weird reason. I think I'm just going to read off this statement and then we could talk about it. So the official statement from Apple says the App Store was created to be a safe and trusted place for customers to discover and download apps, and a great business opportunity for all developers. Before they go on our store, all apps are reviewed against the same set of guidelines that are intended to protect customers and provide a fair and level playing field to developers. Our customers enjoy great apps and games from millions of developers, and gaming services can absolutely launch on the App Store as long as they follow the same set of guidelines applicable to all developers, including submitting games individually for review and appearing in charts and search. In addition to the App Store, developers can choose to reach all iPhone and iPad users over the web through Safari and other browsers on the App Store. So, what that basically boils down to is that Microsoft wants to offer hundreds of games to play through xCloud, and Apple is saying that they can't review every game being put on there, which doesn't really add up to me. What do you think?
No, yeah, pretty much agree. It's a little weird because it's not like the games that are on Xbox haven't already been reviewed.
Yeah.
And it's just Apple makes it sound like it's like YouTube where they're getting thousands of videos a minute, and that's just complete and utter crap. It's not that hard to go through games if you absolutely don't trust Microsoft, which is a rather, I don't want to say responsible, but I mean, it's a competent company. It's not like you're having this random startup company just say, yeah, we're going to just launch Steam games from the indie section on our platform, and we're going to make this app, and we're going to use iPhones and Apple devices in order to get it to everyone. Like, you can background check Microsoft. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, everything that's going on xCloud through Game Pass Ultimate was already vetted by Microsoft or created by Microsoft. And when you think about everything that Apple already offers, they have Apple Arcade, which is just their game streaming service. It's not cloud gaming. You still have to download everything, but it's subscription-based. when you have someone coming in and essentially they're becoming a competitor with their subscription-based gaming service, and the app xCloud would not bring any kind of revenue for Apple. So it's basically like, what does Apple get out of this? If they're not getting anything out of this, they don't want it on their service.
Do you think it might also be because Apple and Microsoft are just natural competitors between the computer world, the phone world, and now, I don't know, I guess game world too, even though, you know, Apple's just...
There might be something there.
Kind of there.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college in like 2011, I had a MacBook and it was like, I don't know, really, I always remembered it being really difficult to get Word on there because they always had their own, they had like Apple, I forget what it was called, like their own word processor, you know? It was like any kind of Microsoft apps were really difficult. I'm not sure if that's that because there are like... There are Xbox games that you could get on iOS and even get like achievements on and stuff. There's not a ton of them. There's like Solitaire and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, and going back to what you were saying before about how many things get submitted to the App Store every day, tons of things get submitted to that App Store. And they're really reviewing every single one of them, putting them up. And if they're... It's kind of like a lose-lose situation because if you actually go onto the App Store and look at some of the apps that get approved, it's ridiculous.
Like, oh, they're trash.
They're like games that are just ad grabs to get people in and clicking on ads and stuff like that. Or there's games that like are targeted towards kids and could have very easily have microtransactions laid out in the background there for kids to unknowingly spend their parents' card, like their parents' money on. It's so sketchy when it comes down to it. And the fact that they aren't allowing this established company with, you know, games from developers who clearly just are making games for people, not like microtransaction filled cash grabs. They're not allowing it on their service. I think it's ridiculous. But that's just
me. I agree. I will also say it's going to be a really unpopular opinion with other graphic designers, but I absolutely hate Apple computers in general.
Yeah.
I just hate them. They're so pointless with how they don't work with like regular Windows products. And Windows, when it comes down to it, is the more popular choice. I know there, on the surface level, there's not too many differences between Apple and Microsoft computers. But the fact that Apple is almost impossible to make games for, it's just, what are you doing? Stop it.
They don't allow executable files, which is basically every kind of application on a PC. You know, yeah, I totally agree with you. I had a Mac when I was in college and then I grew up. I had an original MacBook and then I upgraded to a MacBook Pro and then I sold it after college and... Like, if anyone's listening to this podcast and they're in college and they have a MacBook, just let you know, that you're probably going to grow up after college and realize that you could do everything on a Mac that you can on a PC for a fraction of the cost.
Just sell it.
Yeah, just sell it.
Sell it.
If you have like a Mac Pro, like a stationary computer, oh my God, you could get a souped up like desktop and like a great display and save yourself like a grand. It's nuts.
Literally, you're just paying for brands, dude. Yeah, I used to work for a guy, and all of his computers, he said, had to be Apple because they're the best choice when it comes with Retina display and for graphic design. And asked him, why are they the best when it comes to graphic design? And he just said, they just are. And I'm looking, and there's a $5,000 computer in front of me, slow as hell, despite being like super new because it got so much use. And I won't lie, the computer that I have now, I spent like, you know, I spent good money on it. It's infinitely better than that Mac had ever been. I basically wait to do nothing.
I remember in college, everything. one of my teachers in college told us that he had a $6,000 or $7,000 Mac Pro. And all I could think of now is that was in like 2012. How outdated that computer must be now. I mean, I'm sure if he spent that kind of money on it, the specs were great. And I'm sure it still works fine. But from like where specs and computers have come from in the last 8 years, like what a waste.
Yeah, you can't upgrade them.
Yeah, no, no. Oh, it, yeah. But,
but we both have iPhones.
We do. We do. And honestly, it's like I stuck with an iPhone because we both tried Android. And the thing about iPhones is they're so stupidly simple. Like, I don't want my phone to be complex. I don't want to go in and mod it. Not like mod it, but like add all these extra extensions and things and make it do crazy stuff. I don't need I don't need my phone to do that. There's, you know, buttons in front of me, little square buttons that bring me to Facebook and Instagram and have me call and text people. And that's really all I need. But I also was looking forward to xCloud for so long. And I remember hearing about it where it was like, you know, xCloud is coming out. Try the beta on the Google Store. Or try the beta on the Android and everything like that. And I was like, well, I can't play the beta, but I can't wait for it to actually happen. And now it's just not happening on iPhones. And it really, like, I don't know. It's not a big enough thing to make me want to switch to an Android because, you know, I don't have the newest iPhone. I just have, like, an iPhone 7. It's cheap now and does what it has to do. It's, I don't think it warrants switching over a phone to play cloud gaming, but it just definitely sucks. You know, it was
that's just such a, like, cool thing. Phones are still, I think, like, companies finally realized a few years ago that no, despite phones being a huge market, consoles and PCs still very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a phone, I have no interest in ever really playing a game on it that would be found on Xbox. The screen is just too small. I hate touch controls. It would be useless for me because if the game is available on my computer on Xbox, I would just play it there.
Yeah. I played Hyper Light Drifter. What's that game that I was playing a couple months ago where you're like Sayonara Wild Hearts, that game where you're on the motorcycle and stuff. That game was also on Apple Arcade, and I did the free month trial for Apple Arcade. I might have even done a month after that for the $5, but I canceled it because, you know, I played what I wanted on there. Nothing else really seemed to grab me. But Sayonara Wild Hearts was on there, and I want to play it. And I was like, there's no way I'm playing this on a phone. And then I could have played it for free on a phone, and I ended up paying $15 for it to play it on Xbox. It's just, when given a choice, like, yeah, phones, mobile gaming, that's exactly what it is. People who are on the go and want to waste time and play. They're not sitting at home. I mean, some people probably are, but they're not, like, how we are at night playing through like Ghost of Tsushima or something like that. They're not spending hours sitting in their room playing on their phone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say that for everybody. I'm sure there are people who do that, but still. But yeah, you know, after Apple released their statement, Microsoft came out with another statement. They basically blamed it on Apple denying consumers benefits of cloud gaming. That's what this article. This is we're pulling this from The Verge just to give them credit, just how we get our information. But yeah, I'll just read up off what Microsoft said in response. They said, "Our testing period for the Project xCloud Preview app for iOS has expired. Unfortunately, we do not have a path to bring our vision of cloud gaming with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate to gamers on iOS via the Apple App Store. Apple stands alone as the only general-purpose platform to deny customers from cloud gaming and game subscription services like Xbox Game Pass, and it consistently treats game apps differently, applying more lenient rules to non-gaming apps, even when they include interactive content. All games available in the Xbox Game Pass catalog are rated for content by independent industry ratings bodies such as the ESRB and regional equivalents, like PEGI and stuff like that. We are committed to finding a path to bring cloud gaming with Xbox Game Pass to the iOS platform. We believe that the customer should be at the heart of the gaming experience, and gamers tell us they want to play, connect, and share anywhere, no matter where they are. And we agree. So, yeah.
You could tell they were mad.
Yeah, they were. I mean, and it's like, I'm sure it would, obviously it's beneficial for Microsoft to have your service reach that crazy amount of an audience. Because at this rate, if you subscribe to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for $15 a month, you wouldn't even, I don't even think you would need an Xbox to do this. I think you could just stream the game from, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how the xCloud would work, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if people who didn't own an Xbox would still be able to play some of the games that they offer with xCloud.
PC is still an option.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's not like your PC or your Xbox is going to be running the game and it's going to be streaming it to your device while you're playing it. I don't see that being the case. So it's like, you know, people without an Xbox, I'm sure, would still be able to take advantage of this. And
well, because I remember they were creating a type of thing to put Android phones in. They said the iPhones wouldn't fit in it. I'm pretty positive it would just stream directly to your phone.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, back when we were a little while ago when we were talking about the apps that get approved on the App Store, there was an app, I saw a screenshot of it, I don't know if I could find it or if it's removed, but there was literally an app that allowed you to stream your Xbox to your phone from some random developer. And for that to get approved when Microsoft couldn't get xCloud approved, it's ridiculous. OneCast, Xbox Game Streaming. It's $12 on the App Store. It has 6,000 ratings. It's number 2 in entertainment. And it was developed by Owen Stanley, who I don't think he has any kind of affiliation with Microsoft, but he's raking it in right now. For Apple to approve a $12 app to stream your Xbox games to your phone is absolutely mind-boggling. And you want to know why? Because when it comes down to it, it's $12. Apple is taking 30% of that for everyone who buys that app.
Oh, for this random schmuck.
For this random guy, yeah. So Owen is making Apple way, way more money than Microsoft would have made them. So
I think it's a combination of he's getting them money because of their natural 30%. And also, like I said before, I think they just hate Microsoft.
Yeah. I Googled Owen Stanley, and apparently Captain Owen Stanley was a British Royal Navy officer, and he died on March 13th, 1850. So I don't think I have the right guy.
Well, his ghost's raking it in.
Yeah.
But I guess it also just kind of shows that Apple, I don't want to say they're hypocrites because this isn't a hypocritical situation, but they're full of crap. Because, I mean, he's doing the exact thing that Xbox is trying to do. Only he's charging people buku bucks for an app.
Mm-hmm.
It's buku bucks to me. I think a typical app that I see is $2.99, and even that's too high for what I'm willing to spend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just like, you know what? Random Joe who's using stuff that you totally don't own, we will let you have this. Microsoft, get out of here.
It's just like, what's the difference between streaming a select catalog of games and every game you own on Xbox? It's nuts. But yeah, I'm hoping that Apple comes to their senses with this, especially with Owen's little app project there. That's a little ridiculous. But yeah, I think we could use that to roll into the next feud that Apple has been having this week, which is with Epic Games. So Epic Games, they are one of the biggest, in my opinion, one of the biggest fall from graces ever. I hate Fortnite. They develop Fortnite. I hate what Fortnite has become. I don't know. I know it's a worldwide phenomenon. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. But it was on the App Store, and it was Epic Games is raking money in from 2018 to 2019. I think they made like $4.5 billion just from the game. And the game is free to play. I mean, everybody knows what Fortnite is, but it's a free to play Battle Royale game, the only thing that they charge you is for microtransactions for V-Bucks to buy skins, and they also sell battle passes for different seasons and stuff. Yeah, they made a ton of money. So Epic actually wanted to do something, I was going to say, that would benefit the consumer. It would benefit the consumer, but it would also benefit them. They tried overpassing the 30% fee that Apple charges on their app store. So they were charging, if you wanted like 1,000 V-Bucks, you would pay $9.99. Apple would get $3.33, and Epic Games would get $6.66.
Hail Satan.
A little less than that, because that would be like 33%. But Epic tried introducing a direct pay method. So they actually did this with the App Store, the iOS App Store, and the Google Play Store. So they did it to both Apple and Google, where you could either choose to pay through Apple for $9.99 or get the same amount of V-Bucks for $7.99 if you chose to pay Epic Games directly. And it's kind of funny because I saw a screenshot of it, and it's like right it's like right underneath it. Like, the first option is Apple App Store. It's like, how do you want to pay? Apple App Store, $9.99. Epic Direct Payment, $7.99. So it's like, which one you want to get 1,000 V-Bucks? The one that costs, you know, $2 more, or you just want to throw us $8? Apple didn't like that. And they removed Fortnite. They removed it from their store. Google actually did the same thing, but they did it a couple hours later. So, Apple said, just like Microsoft, they said they were in violation of the terms and agreements of app developers on the store. They couldn't bypass the fees that Apple requires for any kind of payments regard to their store, like our friend Owen, who's charging $12 for xCloud. Epic Games was ready. They retaliated very fast. Almost like they kind of were expecting it. Actually, I would pretty much say they absolutely were expecting this. They immediately filed a lawsuit against Apple. They accused Apple of anti-competitive practices for app distribution and app-related payments. And then they also released a fully animated short. It was a spoof on a 1984 commercial. And anyone who knows about 1984, it's like this dystopian world where the government controls everything. It's this black and white. It's 46 seconds long. But it's like fully edited, fully animated. They had this thing ready to go. The little Apple character from Fortnite is on a big screen talking. It's not like something that they just threw together, you know?
But so here's the thing that I would say to that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they 100% were expecting this. They laid a trap. Apple went right for it. Because to do an animation like that, that takes so much time to do, and it costs money. It's not just a, here, quickly throw this social media post together, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
But also, to file a lawsuit against someone like Apple takes even more time. So what they were saying was, we are purposely doing this. We're going out of our way to do it, even. And now we're going to have a lawsuit, and they're making this huge announcement about it. My question is, what are they expecting the people who are seeing this ad to do? Like, the whole hashtag free Fortnite thing? Mm-hmm. Like, what, how does that benefit the people who play Fortnite? I mean, I guess obviously, like, if they win, then maybe they can play Fortnite on their phones, but why would they want to, you know, like, what are they hoping to gain here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm just kind of shocked at the whole thing. Like, just watching this over again, like you said, it takes time to do this. I don't know if they released this the same day or the next day, but it's not like they were like, oh, dang, Apple took our app off the App Store. Hey, I want, you know that, they wouldn't have been like, oh, you know that 1984 ad? How about we completely parody it? I want you guys to storyboard it, figure it out, match everything, and then put it up. They had it ready, and if you actually look at the end of the app or the end of the commercial, they have some text that comes up. I feel like that was the only thing that was added after the app was taken down.
Well, here's another thing too. Here's something that's also super interesting. So you said like V-Bucks, like 1,000 whatever in Fortnite would cost like basically $10.
Yeah.
So what you're basically saying is Epic is going after Apple for what is essentially $3 for every 7 that they get.
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
So basically the $4 billion that they made, they're just not making it fast enough on Apple products.
But my
point with that, it's not so much to like make you like think it over. It's just think about it. This is a business that has made, I believe you said billions, correct? Not millions, billions.
Oh, Epic Games, absolutely. Yeah.
So a company that has billions of dollars is complaining about a missing $3 per purchase.
Yeah, and not even that. If you compare it to what they were getting before, yeah, they were getting $7 for everything that they're for every 1,000 V-Bucks they sold. They were making $7 on the App Store and on the not on the Google Play Store, but now they wanted a direct payment of $7.99. So they're doing all of this over an extra 99 cents per 1,000 V-Bucks. So, I don't know. That has to say something about the volume of V-Bucks that they sell. I mean, I know it's outrageous, but still, for all of this to happen so they could get another 99 cents every transaction.
Like, that's just it. We have people right now where there's protests nonstop. There's the pandemic going on. There's an increase in unemployment. But guys, Epic is suing Apple over 99 cents per V-Bucks sale.
Yeah.
This is the hashtag that we've been waiting for. Hashtag free Fortnite. What's that? You don't have a job right now? Don't worry. We're going after Apple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, even the whole 1984, because you said it's a government dystopia, it's like, what are you smoking?
Yeah. Like,
are you not able to burn through the dollar bills that you've gotten already that you need to literally complain about 99 cents? And even if it's not 99 cents, I'll even still stick with the $3 just in case it really is like $10 sales and Apple gets $3. Say it's $3. Isn't that just like, God, that's like what, a potato griller at Taco Bell? Heaven forbid you don't have that extra $3 in the millions and millions and billions that you've already gotten.
Allie, Taco Bell took out the potato griller.
So I don't want to talk about Taco Bell right now besides the point that I've just made, because I'm absolutely hating them right now. How dare they get rid of my potato griller?
Yeah.
But it's just, it's such an odd comparison to have a government dystopia, which, not going to lie, with the current political situation going on, it's once again, really bad comparison, Epic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. With everything going on, they choose to make Apple seem like the, so their aim of it is that Apple has a monopoly over everything, which I can't disagree with. But like you said, with everything else going on in the world, they're making it seem like Apple is the real overlord of everything, and it's like there's so much bigger fish to fry. In this whole scenario, I don't think anyone's right. With Microsoft and with xCloud and Apple, I think that's messed up on Apple's part. With Apple and Epic Games, I don't think anyone is coming out on top, because, like, it's wrong of Apple to react this way when competition steps up, but for Epic to throw this kind of drama on everything for 99 cents, it's ridiculous, you know?
Well, the whole thing with, like, the app disclosure agreement, or, yeah, that's what it was called. I don't know why my brain isn't working tonight. But you, Epic, I should say, not you, Andy. Clearly it's all your fault, but Epic signed this agreement, and then they purposely went out of their way to say, hey, you can get it here, or you could go to our direct link, which is way better because we get all that money.
Yeah. And they're masking it like they're doing it for you. You know, it's like, oh, this is totally for you. You're paying us less, but we're getting more, you know?
Well, that's just it. Even in the very end, you're still giving them money. You're not going to get like a free 1,000 V-Bucks for backing them or putting hashtag free Fortnite in your freaking Twitter profile.
Yeah. Yeah. And just something that we didn't mention before, something that's a little crazy on Apple's end though, is that they do charge 30% for publishers for microtransactions, when basically every other platform that offers transactions really only charges you around 3%. So that's where the monopolistic outlook comes from for Apple, because they're charging 10 times more. That's kind of ridiculous.
That's not a monopoly. That's a business practice.
Yeah, it is. But it's like, I feel like they have such a huge part of the market where they feel like they could just get away with that because people want their apps on their store.
Well, there you go. That's not their problem.
Yeah.
That's consumers' problems. Like, I guess my whole point is, like, I don't like Apple as a company, despite I have an iPhone, like I said before. It's a dummy's phone and I like it. I hit one button, I click my app, and that's it. You know? It's easy peasy lemon squeezy. For the whole monopoly thing, it's like there's multiple types of phones. Multiple types. Multiple different types of apps that you can get depending on the phone that you have. And it is wrong that it is a 30% cut from developers, but I don't really see it as a monopoly. I see it as a crappy business practice. But people were complaining about Steam because Steam took, what was Steam's percentage from developers? Was it like 15%?
I remember it was really high. Did they ever stop that?
I just want to know what their percentage was.
Valve takes 30% of all game sales on Steam.
Okay, well, I think Epic takes 10%.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, Epic does something that I actually like, where they like don't take a cut unless your game sells a certain amount or something like that. They take 12%.
So that is still an example of, you have to shop around. You have to decide if it's worth putting your app on something. And at the same time, even if a company is taking 30% of a profit, you're still getting a profit.
Yeah. And like, and if your game is developed in Unreal Engine, your Epic will actually cover the engine royalties. So.
But there you go, though. Like, in the very end, making some money is still better than making no money. And I know that's, you know, that's not the best outlook to have, but it's an honest one in the situation. It's a crappy business practice, but some money is better than no money. Mm-hmm. In this example, people aren't begging for food and dealing with capitalist crap and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's literally, you're getting 70 cents for every dollar. It's not the best, but it's better than a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Yeah, and going into Google, because Google did this, the exact same thing with Apple, or with Epic Games, I should say. They removed Fortnite. I'm not sure what, I'm going to actually look that up really quick, what the Google Play percentage is. They take equivalent to 30%. Yeah, so they're actually the same thing as Apple. They take 30% as well. So that's a little weird. So that's
a business standard.
That's absolutely. Then that's not a monopoly. That is actually, you're correct. It's just a really shady and crappy business practice. And Epic was fed up with it. So, yeah, Google took them off the Google Play Store as well. And they took it off a couple hours after Apple. And a couple hours after Epic Games sued Apple, they also sued Google. Again, they were completely ready for it. They didn't put the amount of effort into the whole free Fortnite thing to Google as they did with Apple. They did use a tagline. Google had some kind of line that said, like, don't be evil. That was, like, one of their old slogans or something like that. And Epic Games, like, posted that in retaliation. But, they were completely prepared for all of this.
I just realized, Epic has made it a habit of calling out other companies for being monopolies. Steam, Apple, Google.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, in their Epic store, they're trying to collect as many exclusives as possible. So, in reality, I guess Epic just wants to be that monopoly.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and take down everybody or call everybody else evil. I won't lie. Screw Epic.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's like the little guy who wants to be on top is just, like, bad-mouthing all the people on top to try to get his way up there.
Fortnite got them so much money that now they think they're big shots.
It's
and granted, ridiculous. They got billions.
6 years ago, they were just another game studio. It was crazy, you know?
Well, now they want all the money.
Yeah. Man, I want Fortnite to just go away.
I gotta say, mm-hmm. Epic's got balls.
Yeah.
They're not big, but they like to show them off. And they like to wave them around. And it's just kind of really pathetic how they try to seem like they're fighting for you, the consumer. When meanwhile, they're just trying to get as much money as possible and try to cause as much bad publicity as they can for other companies. But the entire time, they're just making themselves look foolish.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy when you open your eyes and just actually see stuff like that. Like, nobody's out there for you, you know? It's not like these huge corporations are like, we're there for the little guy. It's like, no.
Oh, they don't care about you. Yeah. You could literally be dead on a street. They won't care.
Yeah. That's like another thing that like, I don't know. It's really off topic with video games and stuff. But like, I hate celebrities. I really can't stand the idea of, like, influencers and, like these people. Because they're just, like, famous people with millions of followers, like the Kardashians. Kardashians wouldn't give you the time of day. They hate, like, they you know, you're not their friend, but all these people are, like, looking up to them, like, all these young, impressionable girls and stuff like that. And it's just, it kind of goes in line with the little kids who are playing Fortnite, who are tweeting free Fortnite, you know? They think it's like, they're looking out for us. They want us. But it's like, no, Fortnite or Epic Games, they want a little more money in their pocket. And they're willing to go to all these crazy lengths.
So. Well, I will counter the Kardashian thing by saying, I don't think any Kardashian had ever stated that they want to be someone that little girls or little kids look up to.
Yeah.
But your point still stands. It kind of, when you said that, it just reminded me about the people that are super angry at Cardi B. And I don't remember what the other one is called. I'm so sorry. But they made a song called WAP that I heard today. And there's like a huge thing about people absolutely hating it. And I don't dig it. I don't really think it's all that empowering either, as some people are trying to say. But The whole thing is it's just a really like raunchy song, and people are saying, I can't believe kids are listening to this. And all I could think is, if your kids are listening to this, you need to reevaluate your parenting, because these women have made it very clear they don't want your little girls to look up to them. They want to make music that they want to make.
Yeah.
But for these businesses, they're trying really hard to pretend that they're not the ones taking all these kids' dollar bills or parents' dollar bills or both, your lunch money. And they're trying to, like, pretend they're in the crowd with you saying, yeah, let's take down these horrible businesses because they won't let you play Fortnite. It's... Don't be fooled. They're just as bad, if not worse, with what they do.
Yeah, definitely. It's just... information being spread by these companies the way that they want you to see it. It's... I kind of feel like a conspiracy theorist talking about all this stuff. It's like, don't listen to the companies.
Well, they're spinning a narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's tons of things going on in this world right now that we could talk about, but this is a podcast about games. Like, speaking of, like, spinning a narrative, there was a huge story this week that we'll not even get into, but people were spinning a narrative about something that was going on with a kid, and you remember, like, you know. Like, the kid who was killed. And, you know, well, that's not something we talk about on here. But still, it happens in every walk of life. And right now in the gaming industry, this is how it's happening with Epic Games and these companies.
I think Epic is being deplorable with their narrative, though, because by making that animation, they are basically gearing it towards kids. And I don't want to say brainwashing these kids in a way, but it kind of is in a way, because that's what all advertisement is. Yeah. It's a form of manipulation that they are specifically using to target children.
Yeah. It's not like any, you know, mid 20s to 30 year old in their right mind is watching this going like, yeah, Epic. Like, you know, it's kids watching it being like, let me get on my phone, free Fortnite.
Oh, no, they take away my dances.
I kind of like taking hard stances on things. It's nice. I don't know. But, yeah.
That's my hard stance. I think Epic is a deplorable company. I think Apple is treating Microsoft like crap, and it's in the wrong for doing that.
Yeah. I bet Cliffy B regrets leaving it, and I'm glad that the Coalition took over Gears of War. Epic and, for all I care, I don't know. I mean, keep your engine. Ton of great games use your engine. I just hate Fortnite.
I think you suck.
Hey. That to me?
No, not to you. I think Epic is, it just sucks.
Yeah. Oh,
it could have been great. It's not now.
Yeah. So that's the drama going on in the gaming industry this week, but let's pivot off of that and talk about some fun stuff. So a couple weeks ago, I talked about an indie game that I played called The Messenger, and I wanted to do a more frequent segment on the podcast where I play these indie games and I talk about them, but I don't get to play a ton of games all the time. You guys could realize, if you're listening to our segments each week where we talk about the games we're playing, Ghost of Tsushima has been on there for probably 5 weeks now for me.
And yeah, you still haven't beaten it.
Yeah. But I did find time this week to play another indie game, and I want to talk about it. It's Carry On. Carry On is a game developed by Phobia, and it's published by Devolver Digital. And I've said in the past, anything that Devolver is involved in is just, you know, it's going to be a great game. You talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago. You started playing it, but I was like kind of glued to it from start to finish. I was fortunate enough, like, while I was working this week, I was doing a lot of rendering and exporting, so it was like a lot of time where I had to wait for things to happen, so I was just kind of playing it casually while I was working. Yeah, you start off as this little monster who escapes a test lab, and you work your way through different levels of, like, this kind of facility. It's kind of like there's like military outposts in the facility, and there's like a nuclear lab, and each one of them has a secret containment unit and just another containment unit that you could break and get more of your biomes and DNA and grow yourself stronger. And like you mentioned a couple weeks ago, you're the thing that goes bump in the night. You're the monster that in other games would be chasing you and you would have to kill. But in this game, you know, people are running away from you. Some people try to fight you, but you're kind of just this incredible force.
It's the most amazing feeling ever, and I love it.
It's great. And there's like one song in this game that, I mean, I don't know if there's like more songs on the soundtrack, but it's like basically the same song that plays over and over. And sometimes it's dead quiet, but when things kick up, you have this really eerie, scary song that plays. It just does like a really great job. And it's like an old, it's like, it has these weird like 16-bit type graphics that they're like semi 3D pixelated stuff. It looks a lot like this old Sierra game called Out of This World, which anyone who knows Game Grumps knows like Mike Karuba. And that was like a big joke in the game. I don't know. It's a really fun game, but it's like a 2D type of game. It plays really slow. Carry On is super fast. It's really fluid. The only button you use is the sticks to move and aim. And like, I mean, you use the triggers and stuff for different abilities, but there's no like the face buttons, the AXBY, nothing really like that. Yeah. And I just really liked progressing through the game and like finding everything. I ended up like perfecting it just by playing through it and finding the different containment units. That's another thing. It's a super easy 1,000-point or platinum trophy, however you play it. I played it on a Game Pass for PC and I'm pretty sure it's on console. So I'm probably going to play through it again to get those sweet sheaves. But yeah, how far did you get in it, Allie?
I saw the humans for the second time where you play as them.
Oh, them. Okay, yeah. So that's a nice little thing in the game is there's these little they're not necessarily hidden because I think you have to go through them, but there's like flashback points where you could see just stuff that happened in the facility beforehand with this one specific scientist. And you actually see it from the perspective of the monster, like he was watching or something like that. It's pretty cool. Without spoiling anything, the ending of the game was just very subtle and very cool. Like I watched the ending and I was like, huh. That's pretty crazy. And I just very much enjoyed it. Carry On. Yeah.
What'd you rate it?
Carry On. I would rate it. I don't like rating things. I would give it an 8.5.
Fair enough.
The gameplay was very fun. It did get a little, like, I took breaks once in a while because I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to make my way through this, like, another thing. You know, I'm not going to. Because, like, when you start a new area, I want to just get through the whole thing because I don't want to put it down and come back and be like, where was I? Because there's no map in this game. You're literally, and I think they did that on purpose because it is a very pretty big game with all the levels going on in it, but there's no map. So I kind of feel like they did that to, like, give you the sense of being this monster who's just trying to find his way through things.
And kill.
Yeah, and just kill. It was pretty cool. I like that at points there was challenges. There's humans with guns, but they don't do anything. You could just charge them and kill them. And then you eventually come to more equipped humans who have like shields and flamethrowers and stuff. And then you have like drones attacking you and these little ball sentry things. And those points in the games were probably the biggest challenges. Just challenging enough. Like it was never frustrating. It was just a really nice game to go through just kind of casually and just have some fun with. So yeah, I really, really liked it. And that was my second installment of Andy's Indie Spotlight. That's my title.
I'm proud of you, champ.
Thank you. So let's pivot into what you've been playing this week.
Oh, what actually have I been playing? Well, I tried Fall Guys.
That's right. Yeah.
It's what do cute. You think of it?
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
It's cute. It's cute. I like the little jelly bean people.
Fall Guys, certified cute.
That was such a deep voice. besides that, oh God, let me check my Steam. No, I've been playing Xenoblades as well. I played more Xenoblades.
Mm-hmm. Xenoblade Definitive on Switch you've been playing, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get back into that one. I had to turn on their Japanese voices for a while because their thick British accents was just, that's not even a British accent. That was like,
I don't know,
Cockney with a little bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know what their English accents are, because it's like you think it's British at one point, but then you think it's Australian at other points. And then it's just, it's so weird. You told me something really funny, though, where you were like, I turned the English back on because I didn't know if I was missing like combat dialogue. But the combat dialogue in that game is so stupid. It's like, you really have my back there, mate. Anything for you, friend. It's like, you protected me as a kid. Now it's my time to protect you. Always be protecting you. It's just like the stupidest things that they have going back and forth.
Mm-hmm, but because yeah. I can't read it, I was like, oh no, what if they're saying yeah. something that's actually important? Oh, don't worry.
They're just like,
it's not important.
They're just like patting each other on the back constantly.
Yeah. Anything for you, friend.
I think you're actually further than me, because I remember seeing you play it and you were at the part where you just unlocked the ability to like see in the future during combat or something. And I yep. know that I stopped at that point because I was like, I want to play Luigi's Mansion. So then I
anything for you, friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
No, mostly I've been doing some drawing or sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're on vacation.
I sleep so much. I'm on a staycation
yeah.
because the pandemic ruined our vacation plans. But it is okay because I naturally am not attracted to leaving the house. So this is perfectly fine for me.
Yeah, you've been doing some really cool art of classic game characters. I think we Thanks. Should post. I think we should post those to the Facebook page. So you guys no. should. Well, yeah, yeah. Because then people could see.
No.
Well, follow Allie on Instagram then. Angst Zombie.
No, don't do that.
Angst Zombie follower. She'll post there. don't. Make Allie the influencer I hate.
No. No, please. I don't want to be an inspiration to children.
Well, I've been playing games too, Allie. I've been playing some games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thought that's what you were talking about when you said you played Carrion.
Yeah, a game only took like 2 or 3 days of like casual play to finish. Probably two.
Oh, I didn't realize that, you know.
I've been playing Ouija's Mansion. I keep coming back to it and I'm almost done with it.
I keep falling I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was going to say I played through Donkey Kong and everything, but that was last week.
And you played through Yoshi's Island?
Yoshi's Island. I think I talked yes. about that last week, yeah. Yeah, Carry On and Luigi's Mansion. Having some fun. Oh, and yeah, Fall Guys. Yeah, we played Fall Guys. I played a couple matches of Fall Guys before you started playing and immediately ran into a hacker. And it was not fun.
That has to suck, because isn't the whole purpose is that at the end of all those little mini games, there's only one person who technically wins?
Yeah, it's like a battle royale obstacle course platformer type thing. And yeah, I got eliminated in like the third round or something. And I was like the first couple rounds were like obstacle courses. And as soon as it started, it said someone finished it. And Tommy, I was playing with Tommy and he was like, oh, that's absolutely a hacker. And when I got eliminated, I kept spectating. And yeah, there was a dude who had like speed hacks on. He was running like crazy. And then the final challenge was just standing on platforms, and platforms, every platform you step on falls. So it was just like, keep on standing, like last one wins. And he was just hovering above the map. So these poor people were all fighting to stay up. And as soon as like the last one fell, the guy thought it was because he could only see another guy. So he just stood still and then he fell, and then the hacker won.
Aww.
Yeah, but I recorded it. I tweeted it to them because... So I'm a little narc.
No, I don't lie. That's a
hacking.
That's
hacking in games is horrible. And if you have to do that, you suck at video games.
Yeah, like no. There's no reason for why you should be hacking a game like that. I mean, exactly. It's just supposed to be a cute, fun little experience. And mm-hmm. if you're hacking it, I don't know, you're an asshole.
I think the only hacks that are acceptable are mods to like single player games. And if those could even be considered hacks, like, you know.
I don't consider those hacks. Yeah. Single player games are a completely different story in my mind, because you're not potentially ruining another person's experience.
Yeah. You're just altering the play style. Yeah, you're just making yourself have a better time for your play style. But yeah, when you're taking that away from other people, it's disgusting. Almost as disgusting as Epic Games. But yeah, I guess that'll wrap it up for us. Like I mentioned earlier, we have a Facebook page. We got a Twitter. We got an Instagram. We got a YouTube. It's all under Till Death Do We Play. So if you type that in on Google, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you'll find us. Please give us a follow. We post lots of content. We actually did something really fun this week where we're taking screenshots from games, and Allie is doing her little Photoshop magic and changing something and seeing if you guys could spot the difference. So something fun for people to do. Yeah, I mean, one person found the one we did.
They don't count.
Yeah. Someone else commented on it and it was just completely wrong. I thought it was pretty funny.
But you know what? They tried, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's it. Please give us a follow, a review on the App Store, the Apple App Store or Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. Like I said,
listen on Apple, listen on Spotify, listen on Google, listen on
Stitcher.
I don't know what the other ones are called. There we go. Stitcher.
Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Breaker. I don't know. I don't know what Stitcher means, but
listen on Stitcher.
Oh man, we got some stickers coming, so maybe we'll do a little giveaway soon.
Hooray!
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Allie, got any parting words?
Epic Games sucks.
That's fantastic. That was probably your best one that you've ever done. I'm just gonna leave it right there. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.